All right, welcome to Do It Yourself. This is Vega Bomber, who's going to sit down tonight and actually talk with one of my good friends, Juice, who's also in the house.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about movies. When you go see a movie, you know, there's that time where you're like, this movie wasn't quite what I expected. And you show up and it almost kind of ruins the movie for you in a way. So we're talking about now, what would happen if we just built the movie ourselves? What would have happened? What would we have done? So this topic is going to be about Iron Man 3. Now, Juice, I know you liked Iron Man 3, right?
I liked it. I thought it was a better story than Iron Man 3. Iron Man 3 felt rushed. This one, in my opinion, felt a little bit more put together. And, I enjoyed it immensely.
Mm-hmm. So you mean Iron Man 3 was the one?
That, Iron Man 3 was better than Iron Man 2.
Yes. Yes.
You can agree with that.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Right. Now, when we did go see Iron Man 3, and that was a little earlier this year, but we picked this movie because it was so polarizing. There were so many people that were split right down the middle. They either loved it or hated it, just kind of like Superman, right?
Right.
They either loved it or hated it. So we're going to talk about maybe what they could have fixed in Iron Man 3. So I'll start first and just say one of the scenes that I thought was kind of crazy, and then Juice, fill in. And if that wasn't a bother for you, then go wherever you need to go with it. But for me in Iron Man 3, wow. So you want me to buy that he has post-traumatic stress syndrome, right?
Right, right.
And yet he's in there dancing and all this other stuff as his armor's getting ready to fly on. And then he's so worried about Pepper. And he says, that's the one thing I can't lose. But you would think after making 49 suits, he'd make a suit for Pepper. And he did in the comic books, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he did do in the comics. Yeah, Rescue, I think her name, character was named. And for a little while, she had that suit. And I don't know why they didn't integrate that into the movie. I don't know, maybe they didn't want to add another iron armor on there and just added, it'd be 50 armors instead or whatever, 43, 44.
Yeah.
But maybe that was the case because it was just too much, armors maybe.
And, yeah. I mean, I didn't buy it. I mean, I know people that have post-traumatic stress syndrome, and they're basically really paranoid the whole time. They tried to cover that a little bit, but I think it just fell flat. And then if you really want me to believe that he really cares about Pepper that much, when the story starts off with him chasing some other girl or getting in bed with her and all that, it was kind of like, okay, so you want me to believe he's going to go monogamous for her, he cares a lot about her, yeah, he doesn't create a suit, and then he does something to draw a lot of attention to himself by calling out what we think is the Mandarin. To which then they come to his house, and what, Iron Man doesn't have security enough to stop it? And,
I can see that. I can see that. You would think a multi-billion, inventor of weapons will have like a, rockets or something like that. But, at the time, when you're seeing the movie, you kind of gloss over stuff. If you enjoy the movie, if you're enjoying it now after, like you're saying, after you can nitpick it. And you can destroy it all you want, just like the Mandarin, destroy the armors and the beautiful house that he had. Now the post, I don't think he had that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were, because they actually even said that, because I think even Jarvis said that.
Yeah.
But that was, that was his opinion, and it's not, you can always have a second opinion.
Right, right.
And maybe he had some kind of a form of it, maybe a mild form mm-hmm. of it. There's people, there's levels
mm-hmm.
for people that can still sustain a regular going to work or having relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Now if it goes, now maybe, that was fixed too quickly, maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should have done this, an inkling of that syndrome for this movie and maybe expand it on the next movie.
Yeah.
And maybe, but they, it's not guaranteed there's
right,
going to be
right.
another movie.
Right,
even though
right.
it makes X amount of money, what if he doesn't want to do another Iron Man movie? Just do Avengers.
Right, right.
And make cameos with Guardians of the Galaxy or mm-hmm. other movies.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why they kind of, put so much plot threads in one movie. Mm-hmm. And it's not in a Netflix TV show, where it can
yeah.
be 12, 13 episodes.
Yeah.
Plus
yeah.
a two-hour movie in the end if they want to,
mm-hmm.
So that's my opinion, That's, yeah. With three-hour movies, it's kind of, for a writer, a script writer, it's kind of hard to include. Maybe they should have taken that out in terms of...
There we go.
Maybe mm-hmm. they should have taken... Mm-hmm. And Jarvis not even make that, mm-hmm. statement.
Mm-hmm.
Saying something like, I do not know what's wrong with you,
mm-hmm.
Tony. And, maybe mm-hmm. went on with that because,
mm-hmm.
And one thing, that aspect of it is they they always kind of gloss over that he's an alcoholic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see that, you know, self-medicating him more. I mean, even the Avengers, when he was joking with Loki, saying, you know, we got a Hulk, and he was drinking. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they kind of, you know, that's one of the things that I like about Iron Man, because as a character, mostly Tony Stark.
Right.
Because they kind of gloss over that, you know, he's an alcoholic, and maybe later in another movie they might, but again, it's a movie, so, you know, they might just take that out, and it's PG-13, and they kind of have to gloss over certain aspects of the character.
So do you think that maybe for them in this particular situation, if they really wanted to sell the idea of post-traumatic stress syndrome, that they should have showed probably him kind of going to the bottle a little bit more?
Just a little bit more.
Yeah.
And self-medicating himself more.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even think they even, they show him drinking, but not to the, you know, the level of, you know, waking up in a, you know, stupor, or where am I, you know, you know, and maybe it was a milder form of,
I mean, cause to me, there were so many problems, and we're talking about the problems first with Iron Man 3, and then we're going to talk about how we would fix it. And that's the do it yourself part of the show. So I would say also, I thought the plot point of, if you step away from the post-traumatic stress syndrome and then not really buying the relationship between him and Pepper, the way it was going down, then also this idea with the president, I thought that was kind of lame. That
in terms of the vice president getting, you know, into office,
yes,
by killing the president,
yes.
Okay, any movie, I mean, you follow 24,
yeah,
and the 24 stuff is happening. Like this organization that's supposed to be a spy organization. And then they always let people in that end up being terrorists, or working with the terrorists at least, maybe not terrorists themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at least it's not as bad as that. And you can see, you know, why he was doing that for his kid also, right? Mm-hmm, Vice President, she was sick, and that kind of, you know, like any bad guy, they always find the weaker of the chain.
Mm-hmm.
As they call it, and then, you know, gravitate towards that person.
Right.
And usually politicians.
Right.
Usually.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them.
Right.
There's always a kid that will take money or maybe want to, find a way to,
Subvert the situation,
and then find other easier ways in their minds to continue.
Mm-hmm.
While in their minds, they're probably helping people also.
Mm-hmm.
So they have like, you know, I'm helping people, yet I'm getting my, you know, my stuff.
Now, see, the reason why it didn't work for me was this: if you've got the extremist soldiers, and that's another problem, why are you capturing the president? You just kill him. If the vice president is your man.
Right.
And he's the guy you're going to use as your figurehead to start buying your contracts, to start using their weapons instead of Tony Stark's. Why did you even keep the president around as long as you did? Why didn't you just go ahead and assassinate him, kill him? Because nobody could stop him. Because if you remember, Iron Man couldn't even beat the extremist soldiers. It was his girlfriend that had to step in and save his life.
Right.
And then we know that even Iron Patriot, who was War Machine, who in the comic books he wasn't, you know, it was Norman Osborn.
It was Norman Osborn in the comics.
Right. So here's War Machine. He steps in, and he just, all they have to do is heat him up, and he wants to get out of that shell. So it seemed like Tony Stark, and I know they were trying to show him more as Tony Stark this time instead of Iron Man, but he was underpowered to deal with these extremist soldiers.
Right.
War Machine couldn't do anything. So if you take them out, why would you be afraid of taking the president out if these two superheroes can't stop you?
Right. I can see that. I would agree with that. You know, there's plot holes in that in terms of, I've been hearing that the script is tight and the script doesn't have plot holes, although there are little plot holes.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see why maybe he was blinded by by his hubris, you know, thinking that, oh, I'm going to be the president. And then who cares if, you know, I can always, you know, hide the truth, you know, because I have all these other, you know, agents or other people under me that can do this for me, you know.
No,
like,
that's right.
Like that TV show with Kerry Washington. What is that called again?
I'm going to blank out, too.
I'm going to blank out, too.
I know what you're talking about, though.
The one that she helps politicians whenever they get in trouble.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now you have to have a picture.
Yeah, we're gonna put a picture right here
of Kerry Washington and, right? And the president helping money. There you go. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll think about it later. But maybe that's one of the aspects of the script mm-hmm. that didn't work. There was too many bad guys. Maybe like any, you know, they want to get in bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And Iron Man 3, at least for the most part. Wasn't boring.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, so
that's true.
Now, like after you watch it, or maybe even a couple times, mm-hmm. you start seeing, you know, mm-hmm. what is the motivation of this character? Why is he doing this?
Right.
And that's one of the parts that you can. That's why we have the show. We can talk about that, and
absolutely.
Hopefully, maybe take him out. Maybe they should have gone through another round of script mm-hmm. writing and then taken that character out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or reforming that character and maybe giving him a motivation.
Mm-hmm. You know, now, I know that Shane Black was the director, so, of course, he always has to put in a scene with Christmas. And that's why I also thought, well, instead of getting Pepper this gigantic bunny that you put in the front yard that she can't use that's useless,
right?
Why not make her a suit if you're so post-traumatic stress so that you can, you know, so that's kind of where I was going there with that, and I thought that was kind of weird.
Right.
And, of course, the other part of it would be, so if you're going to call out the Mandarin, and notice we haven't got to the Mandarin yet. We're just talking about the very first parts of this movie.
First,
so
like
we haven't even got there yet. Yes. And I'm thinking, okay, so if you've got post-traumatic stress syndrome, then that means you're freaking out and you're second-guessing everything, every move. The last thing you're going to do is call somebody out on TV in front of everybody, because that would seem to make your post-traumatic stress syndrome even worse, because you're putting yourself where you're going to be stressed again. So post-traumatic stress syndrome people tend to try to think that everybody's out to get them, the government's out to get them, this and this and that.
Right.
But here, if you're joking and cutting up and making laughs, and the humor was okay, but at times it did fall flat, and it seemed like there was a one-liner after every almost scene, and then everybody had a one-liner, and it was kind of like
it wasn't really, like it was something that he didn't study the syndrome? Is that what the writer is kind of like, oh, he heard about it.
Make me believe it. Yeah, make me believe that he really is. Because most time when you hear about post-traumatic stress syndrome, it's always warriors, people coming back from war. They've seen some horrible things, been a part of some horrible things.
Right.
And we know that in Avengers, Iron Man went through a bunch of traumatic stuff.
And
so it would have been cool.
And each person is different too. It doesn't have to be a traumatic event in terms of mm-hmm. a war or an explosion. It could be anything in any situation that mm-hmm. it just, you know, your mind just mm-hmm. you know can't take it, and mm-hmm. then it could be just like you know just getting attacked and you know pummeled, you know, and then mm-hmm. you know, left in the street, and that can be something that would affect you
mm-hmm.
In that way. And then and you would think that something like a near-death experience mm-hmm. he had mm-hmm. with him, flying into another dimension and then dying, and then mm-hmm. so that would be enough, for him at least, mm-hmm. that would give him that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can see that he didn't do his homework. Maybe didn't he have a psychiatrist there? That said, this is not the way he should be acting. He should be acting, maybe not being able to take care of himself, trying mm-hmm. not to take a shower, or not shaving, or whatever, not going outside with his buddy and having lunch with everybody looking at him.
Yeah,
I can see that, but maybe he's a genius, so maybe he's in his mind, he's trying to pretend that everything's fine, even though he breaks mm-hmm. down here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's no Jedi. So he doesn't have that mind control.
Yeah, mind control.
Big home. These are not the suits you're looking for. The 49 of them.
So if you fix it, would you take that whole pot out?
Let's talk about a couple of fixes too, because there's a couple other ones. But let's talk about a couple of fixes. So here's kind of how, if I was going to rewrite this script and fix it, this is what I would do. First of all, if I'm going to play up the angle, the biggest thing that he has fear about is losing Pepper and her dying.
Building the suit.
That seems like you would want to build the suit. I mean, he's already building. He's spending many hours not sleeping.
Right.
To build 49 suits. Why wouldn't somewhere in there, someone as genius level as he, and it also fits in the comic books, why wouldn't he just make a suit for Pepper? That way, when the house does get shot at and he wills his armor to go fly on her, which now she can use the armor, although it's supposedly just coded to him, which that was another issue, I thought, because remember, War Machine couldn't wear them because it was just coded to him. But she was able, he was able to send the armor to her, which is okay.
Right.
But then she shouldn't be able to control the repulsor rays and do all this other stuff because she's never done it before, right?
Right.
And she kind of does do a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit of that.
Now, to fix that, would you, in your mind, you would say something like maybe she, you know, he would take, you know, her blood or her whatever and actually at least talk about it that, oh, now you can use at least this armor, maybe not every armor, but maybe you can use this armor.
That's a good idea. In fact, you know what? Here's an idea. What if instead of the big giant teddy bear out front, she walks in and she's mad because she hasn't seen him because he's been spending all these hours down there. And he says, I want to show you your present. You know, your Christmas present. Because remember, you're supposed to be sitting on Christmas, even though I didn't feel like it. But you're supposed to be sitting on Christmas. So what if that was the opportunity to say, here it is. And now you have this whole idea of like, Tony, that's not me. I wouldn't wear a suit. I wouldn't. He's like, oh, no, don't worry. It's not offensive. It's defensive. It's to keep you because I can't afford to lose you.
I would agree with that. That would have been cool. And then they could add her to the Avengers lineup. And then
right? Why not, right? Because there wasn't enough Avengers before to take care of all the... Remember in Avengers? There weren't enough of them. If there were more of them there to help them fight against... The Chitauri, less people would have died.
That probably would have been a better movie. Iron Man 3 and Avengers with her showing up and helping out. And, but the thing is, you know, with that, I think maybe at the same time that they were doing, for the most part, they overlapped.
Yes.
So the making of Iron Man 3 and Avengers, you know, in terms of the stages of, you know, making a new suit of armor for him for that movie, for Iron Man. And then adding, you know, new outfit for Captain America and a new plot for him, you know, being, you know, out of, you know, his element.
Yes.
And now in, you know, 21st century, is that right?
Right.
but I can see that. I can see that it probably would have been a better, because they did that kind of at the end anyway with her adding.
She comes in and saves him anyway.
Saves him anyway.
So why,
not add,
other
than it would have been only defensive, characters and not any, you know, laser beams coming out of anywhere, you know, just defense, you know, is able to take more, probably more punishment than the average armor.
Yeah, and so I think, well, she can still have the Extremis, because remember she gets captured.
Oh, she gets captured, right.
So the Extremis could be in her, but not only could she be have the Extremis in her, but she could also have the suit, and that's how she's offensive, is she has the offensive power from the Extremis, but he builds her a suit that's basically just armor. It's just made to, so she can fly and be and then be protected. But she could still have the Extremis power, but in the suit. So to me, I'm thinking, if you're really that worried about her, then build her suit. And this does a couple of things. Not only does it make the, it changes the story, but makes it more interesting. Story, but all the women that want to see some female characters, now you've got Rescue, and a lot of women at first didn't think that they would like, I forget the actress's name, it's playing Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah, a lot of girls didn't like her at first for her to be there, because I guess they see her as being in Friends or something, but as it turns out, they did like the idea of, you know, some strong female characters, and so if you're going to have her save him at the end, then you got her and her armor, and that's even more toys they can sell, because now you've got, and then the girls, and, so see, that even helps them with their merchandising and their toy selling.
They got a Barbie doll with her.
That has their own Rescue. It's pink. It comes in a little pink box. You know, it's on a different aisle from all the other action figures.
And they can make another one, a CEO number box.
CEO, there you go. It's a series. See, we should be doing this. We should be doing this. We can make some money on that.
Yeah, right?
Right? So I think if you did that, now imagine, so I'm going to try to, I'm going to show you how I how I see this film going if I take out that. And there's a few other things, too. I think War Machine was underpowered. We need, after him being in part two, him fighting back-to-back with Tony, it seemed pretty cool with his rocket launchers and stuff, but in this one, he just was of no effect. Right. And then the idea that Tony just said, okay, well, fend for yourself. There's extremist soldiers running around here, and all you got is this one gun, and you go save the president. And that was kind of like, it seemed like that was just tacked in there to say, well, we did give him something to do. He saved the president. But it was kind of like, yeah, but he didn't really, he was running around with all these extremist soldiers and suits. The other thing, how the suits were falling apart like paper mache.
Right.
When an Avenger, Thor, tried to squish his suit in, and he did.
Right.
But but he was able to fight even off Thor a little bit.
Right.
And in here, it was just like anything touched the armor, everything just fell apart.
The only thing I can think of is you know, I'm giving excuses for the film.
Sure.
And maybe, you know, one of the excuses I would think that maybe when somebody's in the armor, they're actually, quote unquote, magnetically locked better. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No.
I'm giving you a way out.
Yes.
And you're not saying no, I'm not taking that.
Well, it's like this, like, so imagine the story now if it's done this way. And then, again, notice we haven't even talked about the Mandarin. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't even have to talk about the Mandarin to find holes in here. But here's the deal. Here's how I kind of think this would work. So we sell the idea of the post-traumatic by him building the suit. The suit's awesome. Now what happens? Everybody wants to know, what would Pepper Potts do in the suit? That'd be kind of cool. And a lot like Iron Man 1, when Tony's first learning to fly, we get to experience not a whole bunch of it, but at least a little bit with Pepper, and that would be funny, seeing how Pepper would handle being in the suit.
See, like, I think they added that, especially when the suit without Tony in it gets hit by the truck, and it just they added that as comedy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should have taken that out and then added the, you know, a little bit of comedy with her learning how to use the suit, because she's probably never even thought about using the suit. You know?
Right, so, and that would be interesting, and that would be something we hadn't seen before, right. And it would also deal with the issue of not having enough strong female characters that people are talking about, and you have her in there, and then this is the other part of it. So you have her as Rescue, him as Iron Man, and then you have a real War Machine, and the three of them take on the extremist soldiers.
Oh, that would have been a way.
And you don't need. And then if you do have the suits, you basically have them there to show that they're there, because people are going to want to see all the suits.
Right.
But make it to where if they get into trouble, then it's the Hulkbuster suit that comes on. Let's see the Hulkbuster suit do more than just hold up the rig to keep everything from falling down. I thought that was a horrible use.
The Hulkbuster suit.
Right?
Yeah, you know, with the Hulkbuster suit, I was a little underwhelmed on that aspect because I wanted to see him more. I would think that he would be one of the, you know, basically Hulk, without being Hulk, and being able to just do more damage, and he just held up a crane, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Like, I can see that. I mean, how would you figure? Would you picture that night, not even add him, or just be more of him, you know, punching a building and the building falling down on his extreme soldiers? Maybe.
Well, I think it would be good. Be kind of like you can follow even the Avengers a little bit. Like, for example, they're fighting down on the street level for a while, but then once they get their big gun, Hulk come in, then notice they really can get into it more. But before that, they were kind of getting their butts handed to them a little
bit.
Well, in this one, you can show that this team, since they're new, fighting together for the first time, they're kind of getting handed to each other. And then he says, let's go to Protocol 49 or whatever it was, Protocol House Party. And then what you do is you'd have him activate the Hulk suit and the others, and those suits came and fought with them against all these extremist guys.
And make him like a team instead of like they were just flying everywhere.
Yes.
They didn't have a pattern.
Yeah. Because Jarvis was controlling the suits, remember?
Right.
And then I was thinking, too, here's another plot point that fell off. If you've got the suits flying around saving, why wouldn't one of the suits go save Pepper when she was falling?
Right.
Right? But they did that so that you could think that maybe she was dead, which didn't work. We all knew Pepper was not going to die. I mean,
you're not going to kill Gwyneth
Paltrow. You know what I mean? Yeah, you can't kill her. And I think I said she was in Friends. I don't think she was ever in Friends, but she was in what was that movie with Jack Black?
That one? Shallow Hal.
Yes, that's what she was
that's
in.
That she was in.
I put her in Friends, and that shows you how much I watch Friends. That I would put her in
it's
Friends.
It's a blonde.
Well, it's a blonde. Yeah, it's kind of in there. So, no offense to any of the blondes out there. That's not what we're saying. You know, we're not. It's no hate. We love Pepper Potts.
All colors.
Yes.
Hair.
Color. All color hair colors. My colors too. It's all good. We don't try to offend. And if we do, we offend everybody all at once, so that nobody can tell. There you go.
So, I love it.
So I'm thinking that in my story, if you do want to go with that, then notice, again, we haven't talked about the Mandarin, so let's talk about it. Great. To me, the Mandarin part, I know about how it was in the comic books. I know people said, well, if we did that, that'd be kind of racist, and, you know, there's a big China contingent that's going to see this, and the movie's going to open there and all that. And I think that's a very weak argument, because so what are you saying then? That villains can only be white guys or black guys or British guys, as it were? No, there shouldn't be anything wrong as long as you don't really go and make it really glaring that we're trying to make them about the really bad stereotypes.
I see that. You know? I can see that. Maybe became like a, you know, a educated mm-hmm. in the States mm-hmm. Chinese mm-hmm. person, and, mm-hmm. And that you cut out the you know the over you know exerted mm-hmm. you know Chinese mm-hmm.
Stereotype
of voice and mm-hmm. and you know with the
Fu Manchu mustache,
maybe get rid of that. Fu Manchu, maybe just have a goatee, you know,
yeah,
instead right. of a full on.
Right. I mean, if David Carradine, who's half and half, can right. play Kung Fu in the movie about the whole thing of martial arts and everything, right. if we could do that, and that wasn't offensive, mm-hmm. and nobody got offended. I haven't read if they have or not, but I'm going to assume that people didn't because it was on TV for a long time. Then how is it that you can't play that? So I think that the Mandarin, it was a waste of how they used him. I didn't like the twist. I know they said, well, it's not no different than the twist in Dark Knight Rises when it was we find out that Talia al Ghul is actually the bad guy, not Bane, in terms of running the whole thing.
Right.
But that was different. It wasn't like Talia al Ghul never was a badass.
Right.
You take the Mandarin here, and it's as if he was never a badass. He was just a proxy. But again, do you need a proxy when you got extremist soldiers walking around breathing fire on people and melting Iron Man out of all of his suits?
Right.
And already captured the president.
Yeah. I think he was when he was doing this script writing, I guess he was trying to make it because I guess every movie has to have a twist, I guess, mm-hmm. now, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm on the fence in terms of I liked the Mandarin in terms of the actor, you know, kind of having a little, fun with mm-hmm. the character.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of, you know, maybe should have done a whole, get rid of that and just have just the Mandarin there and him being the boss
mm-hmm.
of everything instead mm-hmm. of the other guy, Guy Pearce.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole motivation was, was because he didn't meet him up.
Right.
And because he thought he was slighted, I guess, and then, you know, and he almost going to kill himself.
Not through the plot of Incredibles or something like that.
it is, right?
You know what I'm saying? So I'm just sitting back and I go, what? But you're right. See, and that's the thing. What we like about these movies is we want to see a really bad, just a kick butt villain, right? So we love The Dark Knight. We love Magneto, right? Yeah. He's twisted. He's angry. He's mad. And we want to see our villains really just like these tortured souls who go off who think they're doing the right thing, but really, you know, they're just off. And then that makes the hero look better when you have a real severe threat. So in this case, Alexander Killian, I think was the guy, I think that was his name.
Yeah.
He was a threat already on his own because, I mean, the thing was is he needed somebody to stabilize the extremists for him because remember he had soldiers blowing up, right? That was his only problem. And see, here's another problem. Plot point problem, because remember, only Tony knew how to fix the extremists. But why would you send bombs and almost kill the guy, the one guy, who could have fixed the extremists problem with that thing? So that kind of says, well, okay, that's kind of some confusing understanding of the motivation of this guy.
Right.
And then you don't kill him, which this happens a lot. You had a chance to kill him. But Pepper wasn't going to go that route for you either, and you injected her. So I'm like, okay, so you're doing all this because the president's in the way, and you want the vice president who has a daughter with no limbs who they can grow it back because of the extremists. So we need the vice president, but not the president. But the president's in the way, so we're just going to keep him out there.
And now that you mentioned that, the extremist virus, I guess, or whatever it is, mm-hmm. So it eventually kills the people that are injected with this.
Mm-hmm.
So it would the only person that would be able to fix it is Tony Stark.
Right.
Right?
Correct.
So is that why, I haven't seen the film in a while, so.
Yeah.
Did they get Pepper Potts so he can get Tony Stark to fix it? But he never says that, right? He never mm-hmm. verbally says, I have Pepper Potts. And she has the,
extremist
virus.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have to find a way to fix it so I can give it to the daughter of the vice president because now he's the president. And then, now you're
in. See, it doesn't make any sense because he wouldn't need to be the president for him to fix her leg anyway.
Her leg anyway.
And if it's about well, we want to get the contracts, the government contracts away from Tony Stark and give it to us. Because I'm trying, again, what are you trying to do? Why are you trying to do this? And I'm thinking maybe that, and again, maybe it's, I miss it, and it's been a while since we've seen the movie, and I certainly haven't read the comic book to that degree, but if your plan is to get the vice president in there, and the president's in the way, and you've got that much power, then not even Iron Man can stop him, you just kill the president. It's over. It's done. You don't need to pretend or play because if you've got the Mandarin not being the real Mandarin in there, then you're okay with doing deceitful things, a sleight of hand, right?
Right.
So why not just kill the president and blame it on somebody else or something else?
Right.
And that's done. But the way you leave him out there and all that other stuff, and it's like, so I don't really get why that was even a motivation to even
The only thing I can think about is he had, you know, plans in case some plans fell through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he had like a multi-layered plan. Mm-hmm. So if one thing, you know, fails, mm-hmm. he's got the other plan going.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mm-hmm. maybe he didn't, the writer director mm-hmm. didn't convey this well.
Yeah.
And maybe the editor took out some, you know, scenes or lines mm-hmm. that, you know, maybe it's the editor's fault. I'm maybing it on the editor.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. We got to put it on somebody because when you go back and you try to look at the motivations, it doesn't make sense. Like Talia Ghul in Dark Knight Rises, you knew what she was trying to do.
Right.
You didn't worry about that. Bane, you thought maybe it was him that was doing it, but you kind of understood the motivations of what they were trying to do. You go back and look at the first Iron Man, you know, you get the sense why they were trying to get rid of him. And everything else. And then when he realizes that they're using his own weapons to, you know, he sells them, then he has this whole come to Jesus moment and decides he needs to do something different. And then he becomes, so when there's an arc that makes sense, you can get behind it and follow it.
Right.
But here it was just like, well, just more explosions and more one-liners. And you can almost kind of hide the fact that really when you go back and look at the film, it doesn't make much sense.
Hold up.
On many levels. And so there'd be the other piece too of how you look at the idea that at the end, all of a sudden, they went for the quick, let's tie this up in a nice little bow, which also made me not like it. So what they did was they all of a sudden said, well, now Tony saves her at the end of the day, I guess, after she saves him by getting the extremis out. He figures it out.
Right.
Then he doesn't need his, you know, arc reactor in his chest anymore, which if you pull that out, he's going to have a big hole, flesh hole in his chest. Right. I don't think that, but he's a doctor now. He knows how to think, right? I get that. And then he gets rid of that, and then it's all neat. And then he says, I don't want to ever be an Avenger anymore, or not Avenger. He says, I don't want to be Iron Man anymore. I want to be a one woman guy.
Right.
And he hints to that he's done with this, and then he drives off, and then, hey, and everybody claps, and that was a great Iron Man movie. But at the end of the day, what happens then? So you're not. You fix her, so she's regular again.
Right.
You know Avengers 2 is going to come out.
Right.
And people are going to want to see you again.
Right.
So where do you go with all that?
Maybe this is setting up because I've read already the plot of Avengers Age of Ultron.
Because you read the comic book.
I didn't read the comic book.
You didn't? Oh.
It's in Entertainment Weekly, the one that showed up this past Friday.
Okay.
In my mailbox.
Okay. In your mailbox.
But I'm not going to reveal anything, but I think the way Avengers Age of Ultron is mm-hmm. set up,
mm-hmm.
It'll enhance, potentially, Iron Man 3.
All right.
No, I don't know if you know that thread. Now, mm-hmm. because like they're doing a series of movies in Marvel,
mm-hmm.
where it's kind of like a comic books,
right?
Where you know one adventure dovetails into another adventure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might end at a certain point, but there's threads, plot threads that are running through the next mm-hmm. Comic book or the next mm-hmm. major summer crossover event.
Right.
And that's what Marvel is doing. And it looks like it's paying off right now because, mm-hmm. Sometimes they fail. Even in comic books, they fail mm-hmm. because they have so much writers and mm-hmm. artists and editors mm-hmm. That maybe, the strength of one writer that's strong in a storyline
mm-hmm.
And hire another writer and artist mm-hmm. on another storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry to say, some writers and artists that are better than others.
Sure, sure.
And maybe they're not smart enough, or maybe they're not thinking about the way one writer constructed a storyline,
mm-hmm.
and the same themes, they don't know how to pull it
mm-hmm.
for the next storyline and the next theme. And, you know, again, you know, it might fall flat. Avengers Age of Ultron is saying, you know, it's going to be better than the last Avengers. And this is, you know, buzz.
Sure.
Even Joss Whedon is saying that it's in his mind, it's not going to be better.
Right.
It's going to be different.
Yeah.
And maybe he's saying that because he knows that, you know, it's a lot to live up for a movie when you do a pinnacle movie, like just like Dark Knight. You know, it was hard to do Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
And put the same level of excitement or the same level of twists or the same level of performances from from their actors. And that's one of the... Now, when you're paying $15 or $20 for a movie instead of a $2.99 or $3.99 for a comic, you can kind of forgive a comic.
Yeah.
You know, oh, this chapter wasn't
that good.
And you know, it's monumental in terms of what Marvel is doing in terms of one movie feeds into another movie.
Sure.
And then sometimes, again, sometimes some writers... directors, you know, aren't at the level of the other writer and director.
Sure.
In terms of, you know, psychologically, they can't, you know, grasp a concept. They can't grasp a theme and convey it to the audience.
Yeah, I think there's probably a big piece to that. I think your point's valid. And I think there's a piece in terms of studio interference because they know now it's a formula now. They know what'll make money.
I mean, right.
Because it's a couple movies. If you think about it, look how many movies have hit the $1 billion mark already just in the last year or two. Like if you remember, it took Star Wars was like number one for a long time, and it took 20 years before we got Titanic.
Right.
And then it was another 10 years or so, and we got Avatar that blew it up, you know.
Yeah.
And then it was like, wow, nothing's ever going to change that. And then in the same year...
Right.
The Dark Knight Rises hits a billion, and then Avengers hits a billion. Or either I have it Avengers and then Iron Man 3.
I think it was Avengers, Iron Man 3 hit a billion.
It started hitting, and then even Dark Knight Rises hits a billion.
A billion.
So you had all of a sudden in just a year's time where it was taking 20 years then to 10 years. Now all of a sudden, which showed me that they figured it out, you have Dark Knight Rises and Avengers come out in the same year, and they both do a billion.
Right.
And then the follow-up, the next movie Marvel puts out is Iron Man 3, and it does a billion.
It does a billion.
So they figured it out. They know what they need to do. And I think what happened is they realized, well, if we have a lot of explosions, you know, we were saying earlier, and Iron Man lends himself to being, you know, wisecrack, you know, that sort of thing. And that works to a certain degree, but you can also kill it.
Right.
If you do it too much. And then people won't buy any drama. If you try to insert drama,
it'll be,
if you do it too
it'll
much.
Be Green Lantern then.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, you're trying to add jokes.
Yeah.
Fall flat.
Yes.
And action scenes that not really. You know, not really action scenes.
Yeah.
For like a few fleeting moments, you see a good diamond in the rough, and then it gets buried by just junk.
Yes, yes.
There's like a fleeting moment. Like, oh, no. You're there. Like, you're not there.
That's right. So if I was to fix Iron Man 3, then I think it's okay. I think it's good that they went with the whole post-traumatic stress thing. That makes sense, because after what he just went through in Avengers, falling through that wormhole, you know, and all that stuff, that's pretty traumatic, you know? So I'm good with that.
But convey it better, maybe. Is that what you're saying?
Like where he's dancing in the first scenes and the suits is coming,
coming on.
And all that stuff was done just to make you laugh and for the kids and all that stuff. And I get that. But it's kind of like at some point, if you're trying to sell drama, you have to pull back a little bit on the comedic stuff or else no one will buy the drama.
Right.
So when he was trying to freak out and didn't know what to do, and he was in Tennessee for some strange reason and his suit was charged down, and this little kid has to help him, which I think you could totally take the kid out of the movie and it wouldn't hurt anything at all.
Right? We haven't talked about the kid.
Yes, we have it, you know?
So that's another one. You would take out the kid.
Yes, I'd take out the kid.
Add a little bit more drama because he's got a good actor, so... You should be able to convey that emotion easily.
Correct.
It's in his toolbox, basically. So he would be, okay, so take out the kid. Don't put the jokes, at least in the beginning.
Yes.
Now, maybe the jokes wouldn't be him dancing around doing all that. Maybe they should have had somebody else trying to cheer him up, maybe. And then,
that makes sense. Somebody else would be trying to do
that. Like, remember that scene where he goes to the small town and the guy in that news van is there?
Yeah.
Maybe his role should have been expanded
a little bit. Or Happy.
John Happy, Favreau. Yes.
He should have been more in there because they were showing the relationship between those two.
And he was, maybe he, yeah, I would agree with that in terms of maybe take the kid out.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Stark not as cutesy, trying to be cutesy, mm-hmm. being more dark.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe spending more time in his garage. And yes. then they'll notice that they don't take, he's not taking showers, he's not eating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And maybe get a professor, not professor, but a psychologist in mm-hmm. there and try
mm-hmm.
to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's added right there. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Mandarin, would you make him full-on evil?
Yes, and I would say that in this one, if I'm going to go Mandarin, I'm going all Mandarin, and I don't need Killian.
Oh, okay.
I don't need Killian at all to say that he's the Mandarin afterwards. Or I would leave the Mandarin out and tease him, and I would have just Alexander Killian, and I forget what his name is, something like that.
Right.
I would have him, if you're going to go with the arc, that he's upset because he got left up on top flight of the building and Tony didn't go see him because he was downstairs trying to take care of business.
Right.
I would have him, if he's going to be in it and be the bad guy, just let him be the bad guy because he's got a hold of that extremist. That's crazy.
Right.
And if I'm going to do the Mandarin, here's how I would do him if I'm doing both. Because I'd rather have him, either or rather than both and. But if you have to do both and, then what I would do is I'd have the Mandarin, if you're going to play, he's going to play the goofball role after he does some stuff. I think it works better to have him be kind of like a goofball, and everybody's like, what? Up front. And then as everybody goes, we're pissed off, man. You made the Mandarin a goofball. Do it the other way. Do it to where you see him joking around, clowning, and then there's this shot of him, and he looks at the camera like, I got him hooked. Like, I'm faking the goofball role.
Right, because they didn't take him seriously.
Yes.
Until it's too late.
Yes, and then that's where your humor can come in, and it can be kind of funny. And he's using him as a patsy, so you don't think about Alexander Killian. And then what happens is you just get that scene where he's acting a fool, and then all of a sudden, like in Planet of the Apes.
Yes, I saw
it. Remember?
Yes.
Like, Koba went up and tried to act like a dumb monkey when they were like, no. No, get away.
Yeah, because they left their defenses down.
Yes.
And he was able to go in and
yes.
just do what he does.
Yes, and so I would have had him be just the opposite. I'd have had him be kind of goofy, kind of silly, but when he's on set and you see him, he's serious, and you're kind of going, what? You know, and then right when you think he's done, and the camera pans around, you see him, and he looks back, and you see maybe one of the rings or something light up, and he gives you this real evil stare, and it's just enough, and you go, whoa. That he's playing a role here. See, and then that sets him up for the next movie, or him starting
or another or Avengers
2. He's sought after to do some stuff. So that's how I would have used the Mandarin. I'd done just the opposite, or I wouldn't have him at all. I'd just have Alexander Killian. I'd be looking at him saying, "Here's how badass we are. I can put this in any soldier, and I've already done it. And you can't stop us because we could melt you right up out of those suits and show that it's a situation." Where he's trying to figure out how to take these guys out because Pepper at this point, she's not trained good enough to fight really. Right. But he has her suit and he feels better about it. And then Rhodey, he's not really had a chance to test out the armor and do all the cool refinements that he's done or whatever. And Tony knows this.
Right.
So he's like, look, I'm going to try to put some sort of like a mini Avengers together. And with that, I think you should also add just split screens of other people calling in saying, hey, is Tony on? Right?
Because
that was another thing. It was almost like this movie was completely disjointed from Avengers because besides a couple of word references, you never got the sense that Nick Fury and these guys were even around. And you got the president being jacked, that there's no other superheroes that know about this. And So I think I would have had like split screen, and it is Nick Fury, just real quick, 2 seconds, and he's like, Stark, you got to report to work. Don't try to play sick here or something
like that.
And then maybe even Thor comes in and says something like, here's what you should take. This is what we drink up in Asgard. Some kind of special mead. This would be funny. See, this is the humor part of it where he doesn't want to be humored, right?
Right.
And then you have the Hulk because they're real close buddies and they've been working. He's like, hey, man, you haven't been coming to the lab lately.
And they can add to the syndrome. Yes.
And then the other funny part is Pepper Potts learning how to fly in the suit.
Right.
How she's, from a girl's perspective, trying to get in the suit, and it's binding and crunching and doing things to her.
Right.
And it's just not very comfortable, and she's complaining about, I don't know how you do this and stuff. I mean, that would be funny.
That'd be funny.
Meanwhile, Killian is recruiting more and more soldiers to come up with that extremist form, and he eventually, catches
him. Right. So by the third act,
yes.
Now would you still... the armors. Would you still leave the armors there, or would you just be you know, Pepper, War Machine, and Iron Man, you know, taking care of business and just get rid of all the armors that he's done. You know, because, you know, they said it looked like it was they were all destroyed, and it turns out they weren't destroyed. They had underneath vaults and, and all that stuff. So you would take out all the armors?
No, I wouldn't take out all the armors. What I would do, or all the irons, what I would do instead was the ones that everybody kind of like, that want to see. Like, people like want to see the space one. They want to see the Hulkbuster one. And maybe there's another certain one in there. Certain ones, maybe the ninth Stealth Vision one would be kind of cool.
Right.
To have it show up and you don't even see it and then it comes up. And so it's kind of like, he's smart. That's his fail-safe plan. If we can't stop it as War Machine, me, and Rescue, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to call the house party protocol, and Jarvis will fly them. Because remember, Tony wasn't even in the suit when he saved the people flying out of the airplane.
Right.
So they introduced that, and that's fine, but have that be the suits. And it's like the suits come to save the day when they're starting to get their butts handed to them by the extremist soldiers. And I think that'd be better. And then, you know, show Pepper Potts getting a little better.
A little bit,
and,
right.
You know, that's funny watching her kick a little bit of butt. You know, she shouldn't be great because she's just her first time in it. But then that would be still kind of funny. You know,
I would rubber stamp that.
Yeah.
Right now. Right now.
Heck yeah. Right.
Hey, Michael Bay's done, you know, Transformers. He's remade Transformers the past 10 years. So over and over again. So why can't Shane, well, another director probably get in there and just remake Iron Man 3 and don't tell anybody.
Yes.
I mean, it's basically the same plot, maybe change names, you know, a different virus, you know.
Yes.
0.2.
Yes.
You know, it's 2.0, whatever it is.
Absolutely. And see, I would have, you know, so Alexander Killian then eventually gets taken over, and then you go back to the Mandarin again, right? Because he sets the Mandarin up to go to jail. And he still plays the whole, I'm Trevor Slattery, you know. And then he gets into prison, right?
Right.
And what would have been cool is if one of the big guys would have came up to him and started talking some crap to him, and all of a sudden, you know, camera backs up, and you just see this, you know, some kind of real awesome, aggressive type move that he does. He puts this big guy down on the ground, and everybody else in the pen just kind of moves back.
And that's how it ends?
And then, and so now you're going, okay, now that they've put him in there, now we want to know what's going on with the Mandarin, and now you got him set up for either Avengers 2 or Iron Man 4 or something like that. But at least he's still in the universe and still can be used. Maybe Thanos and him get together or something.
Right.
But I wouldn't throw that character away like that. It's kind of like the prequels. That was the problem, right? They killed Darth Maul in the first one. Why did you do that? Darth Maul was awesome, man.
Yeah, but that's the only awesome character they had, right? The Qui-Gon Jinn was, you know, interesting, you know.
Right,
and he got killed also, right? I don't know. I think it's just, you know, they don't think that it's going to be a trilogy, you know, in their minds. Now, I don't know about George Lucas, you know, because supposedly he had all these scripts
in
the past 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's thinking. You know, I can introduce another character later.
I mean, just think about it, because you can see where this is all going. Mm-hmm. You can see where, obviously, there are more female comic book readers than there ever been in a long time. So the movies have done their job. They've crossed over, got people to read. There's girls already reading, but now even more so, because now it's cool to read comic books, because the movies are kind of helping, to some degree, push people that way.
Right.
You know, and then, so you can address that with Rescue. Because so far, Marvel hasn't done anything other than have Black Widow in the movie. And they did make her a little bit stronger in Captain America 2.
I know.
You know, to a degree.
Yeah, to a degree.
But this, love Iron Man, and they liked the relationship between Pepper Potts and Iron Man. I did too in Avengers.
Yeah, right.
I didn't in this one because I just didn't buy it. But in Avengers, they seemed more like a couple there.
Right.
You know, I think they skipped a couple steps here. But if you do that, you've already shown that the Marvel Universe is open to have more than just Black Widow there.
Right.
And this makes sense because you're about to bring in Scarlet Witch.
Right.
So why not show this? And who doesn't want to see a female in the armor?
Right.
Because Sif is wearing mythological armor that,
right,
with Thor. So where's the female counterpart of Iron Man, who's more popular anyway than Thor?
Right.
I think they missed that opportunity there. And then I think with the African-American audience, for sure, if War Machine could have been a little bit more badass.
You know, one thing about another War Machine that I thought about when you brought up War Machine not being as powerful.
Yeah.
Because remember, the armor in Iron Man 2 was stolen by the government.
Right.
They always steal. What?
Damn them.
They can do that.
Yeah.
and they have the authority. And
this is a miracle.
Yeah. Right? So they have bigger guns and money. Mm-hmm. When they stole it, it's the model that's a year or two, mm-hmm. Ago, it's like the 1999 model, Yeah. So it doesn't have, the same capabilities in the one that he just made, that morning, mm-hmm. So that's why I think that it's not as powerful as the, because when he had the fight, Iron Man and Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
It was toe to toe.
Yeah.
But that was already a season or two.
Yeah.
Later, whatever it is,
Yeah.
So he had already, modified his armor to be more powerful than, mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
One thing in that aspect, have you ever read the Armor Wars?
I haven't read that one,
but you heard about it.
You've told me about it, yeah.
So the Armor Wars, basically in a nutshell, if nobody heard about it, is he finds out that, the government and other, companies have certain parts of his armor, and he notices this. Mm-hmm. So he basically goes off, and even the government takes back all their armor and pieces, okay. and what have you. So I was hoping that Iron Man 3 would be that, because mm-hmm. when I saw all these armors, mm-hmm. that it was going to be him, noticing, hey, wait a minute, this technology is mine. It's mm-hmm. mine. So take it. Mm-hmm. Put it in his toolbox, mm-hmm. So I thought it was going to be the Iron Man armor wars, mm-hmm. and that's one thing that disappointed me about one thing mm-hmm. about Iron Man 3, that I wanted to see that he was going to have other groups of technology, and him going to different cities, mm-hmm. Or countries, Russia, etc., taking back their armor, China.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would
so.
Be cool.
So that, that's one thing I would, like you said, fix it. The hope, this Iron Man 3 plot will be just totally destroyed. Just do the Iron Man Armor Wars, mm-hmm. a movie. Maybe the fourth one will be that. I don't know. Maybe you'll switch around and say, wait a minute, just like Apple, and Samsung are fighting a battle on, in the jury, mm-hmm. he's doing it outside. Mm-hmm. He's going outside and mm-hmm. taking out the different armors or different technology. Mm-hmm. And in the comic book, he actually does just this. He goes in and he doesn't take the whole armor. Mm-hmm. He just takes the piece that he sees. He recognizes that's my technology. Okay. And I'm taking that.
Okay.
And he leaves the other part because the other part is not his.
Right.
So that would be an incredible movie, I thought.
Wow.
I would think.
Wow.
But yeah. That happened. Yeah. Iron Man 3. Yeah. And again, at the time when you're seeing it, you mm-hmm. you enjoy it. But then, after you have a day or two to think about it, you mm-hmm. see plot holes. You see, why did this character do this? So mm-hmm. why did that character, like you said, killing the president.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is because even he had all this power, mm-hmm. he just killing the president would connect him to it, and he would have been arrested anyway. I don't care how many billions of dollars you have. Mm-hmm. You would still be arrested, or at least try to be arrested, because he still had the power of all the soldiers under him. Mm-hmm. And the government just has to wait for him to all explode anyway. So, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A likely story. Yes, yes, yes. Now, if you got that much power and you can kick Iron Man's butt, I don't think you should be afraid about what the civilians can do to you if you take the president and kill him, because if Iron Man can't stop him.
Right.
And if we're going to suppose that Thor and Hulk and none of them are anywhere around in
right.
this situation, then I think you can get away. If you can get a guy to show up and fake to be the Mandarin,
right.
then you're obviously pretty good at deception and covert stuff.
Right.
So I think he could make it not trace back to him, but they couldn't figure it out.
Figure it out. Right.
But again, it's kind of like, this is the kind of fun stuff that when you sit down and you watch movies like this and you kind of were expecting something
right.
and you weren't, then you can see the kind of things that you would do to change it. And I think if we do that, we're almost about to wrap right. up and hit some final points here. But I think if you would have just added in that element with Rescue, kind of been macho up a little bit, if you will, War Machine suit, because in the first time we see him, he's just learning the suit. By now, he should be a badass in it. And I never got the sense that he was a badass in that suit, really, because he was just taken out way too easily.
Right.
So I want to see at least some more scrappiness. And I thought it was pretty much like a dick move for Tony when he's got all these suits flying around. He's jumping from suit to suit, which was ridiculous, right? that he's telling his buddy, sorry, buddy, these suits are only coded to me, so there you are. Good luck with all those extremist soldiers who are going to kick my butt, but hey, good luck.
Well,
all you've got is just a little handgun,
well,
and you're going to go save the president, and the suit's going to work now when it didn't work before when you tried to get back in it.
Right. Another avenue he could have done is maybe since Rhodey is trained
as yes.
an army guy, yep. maybe give him X amount of suits mm-hmm. for him to be under his command.
Yes.
And he will be like
a
general,
mm-hmm.
And he would be able to, outflank other characters here and there mm-hmm. and look at the battlefield and say, oh, you need to outflank this.
Yes.
You two go over there, you two go there. And then mm-hmm. maybe that aspect of the script could have been written or a plot and made Rhodey a badass.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not give him armor, but give him maybe like under four or five
mm-hmm.
top armors.
Yes.
One stealth maybe. And,
yes.
And yeah, that would have been a good aspect of a story. If.
Yeah. I mean, so if we just put it in just a little nutshell.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if we just put it in a little nutshell, I'm saying that if I'm writing the script on this one, I would have included the idea that you had rescue in it and show Pepper Potts kind of learning it a little bit. Not to take the whole movie, but it could be some of the funnier moments in the movie. Then I'd like to have seen the Mandarin, if you're going to do the Mandarin at all, I think flipping it the other way, showing that he's a terrorist. And then if you do the goofy stuff to throw people off, why not have a triple twist where he seems like he's a bad guy, then you show that he's Trevor Slattery, but then when everybody else is not looking and the camera's there watching him, you see that there's something evil going on with this guy. He's pulling a con. So I think that would be more compelling. That would have made people happier with that. And then I think at the ending, just trying to put a nice little bow tie on everything where he all of a sudden gets rid of the extremists for her and then fixes his own chest and all that stuff. I think that was just way too convenient, too nice to try to cover up the fact that it had a pretty weak storyline, considering when you try to figure out what the motivations were of these people, because it really didn't seem like it was all that important. And you totally don't need the kid or the product placement the way they did. They made it real obvious. That's my only take in terms of that. And Juice, what did you think?
Well, yeah, about the getting rid of the armors, that's another thing that we didn't come up with during the talking about that, is he's a businessman. He would not... that much armors and destroy that much armors. That's one thing that in the back of my mind I thought about it is like he's a multi-billionaire and that's the reason he's smart. He's not gonna trash X amount of armors,
correct?
Or at least or make him more powerful, maybe.
Yeah,
and able to take more hits and able to take more damage without being all destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And that protocol where he did, where he destroyed the armors,
mm-hmm.
that was done. We didn't talk about this real quick.
Yeah,
that was done to show his love for Pepper Potts.
Mm-hmm.
Now the armor, like the rescue armor, maybe that would have been all he needed.
Yeah,
probably maybe not at the beginning. Maybe in the middle of the movie,
mm-hmm.
Where he gave him the armor, and that'll be his love for her.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. No, I like that. I think that's pretty good. So I think that's going to conclude our first session doing this, talking about, when you go to a movie and you're feeling like you didn't really get everything that you wanted out of the movie, if you do it yourself, Juice works at Keith's Comics, so he has his thumb on all of his things. I do a lot of script writing and video producing, so I kind of understand that side of producing something and kind of what that looks like. And so we thought it was just fun to sit down and talk about this, and I think the next topic we're going to have, we're going to record, we're going to talk about what's wrong with The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and of course, do-it-yourself style, how we would have rewrote that script and done something different so that we would have really gotten an excellent Spider-Man movie. Because so far this year, all the sequels that have come out, pretty much, except for Spider-Man, have been better than the first one. So Captain America 2 was better.
Yes.
The X-Men. Would you agree was better, right?
Better, yes.
22 Jump Street was better than 21 Jump Street.
Mm-hmm.
Even Think Like a Man 2 was better than Think Like a Man 1. So this has been the year of the sequel, and the only one that really didn't quite live up to that was The Amazing Spider-Man 2. So we're going to get our heads together, talk about that next time. And so again, I'm Vega Bomber, and he's
Juice.
That's right. And we're going to come back and let you know what you can expect when you go to the movies. Otherwise than that, this is just Vega Bomber and Juice saying we're out. Peace.
Peace.